Faith, we sure need to do that. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We are just so delighted to be able to walk by faith. Scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't like what I see out there. And I'm not very good at figuring things out, but I know the one who can reveal all things. Amen. We are going to be opening our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 10. I'd like to pray first of all before we read, beginning at verse 17. Father in heaven, we need thee so very much, and we come to thee now in prayer and ask for thy help, because without thee we can do nothing. And I pray, O Lord, that thy word would sink down deep into our hearts today, that thou wouldst help us as we reach out to thee, O God, that thou wouldst speak to us, lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because we know these are perilous times and getting worse, and we need thee every day, every hour. And I pray that thy Spirit would abide with us, O God, and work through us. Lead us and direct us, for thou art our shepherd, and we are the sheep of thy pasture, O God. Be thou with us, O Lord, and give us victory in the Holy Ghost over every enemy, over every deception, over every wicked thing. O God, give us victory in Jesus' name. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, cast out, made powerless in thy presence, O Lord. And I pray, O God, now that thou wouldst give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness and for thy word, O Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to call the message today, the title we're going to put on it is The Law of Spiritual Gravity. The law of spiritual gravity. Now, of course, we know that gravity is something we're all quite familiar with. If you drop something, it falls down, right? And, of course, it was discovered, they say, by one Sir Isaac Newton. I wonder if he's also the one that made those fig cookies. But anyway, he was sitting under an apple tree one day, and an apple fell down and hit him square on the head, and he jumped up and said, "Aha, gravity." Well, it wasn't quite like that, but it did get him to thinking. And anyway, we know that gravity is one of the physical laws, among many other laws of physics, such as inertia of motion, where something keeps moving unless there is something to resist it and slow it down, eventually stop it. Inertia of rest, where something stays motionless unless there is some impetus, something to push it and get it going. And of course, there's centrifugal force, where when an object is in motion, it tends to move outward and away from its source. And so, you know, you spin a bolt or something and tie it on a string and put it on a stick and spin it. Probably all done that. Or am I the only nut? Huh? So, well, there are all these physical laws. If I pick something up and I drop it, it falls down. Gravity. And, of course, the whole solar system, the whole universe, the entire cosmos works on these physical laws. And physical laws really are nothing more than the decree of God. Things operate the way they do, behave the way they do, react the way they do, because God said it was to be so. And actually, I'm glad we've got gravity, because otherwise we'd have some trouble walking. You really couldn't fly an airplane without gravity. What's going to bring it back down, right? And there's a lot of other factors that enter into that. So we could look at the physical laws, particularly gravity, but I want to tell you about a spiritual law of gravity, spiritual gravity. And you're probably wondering where I'm going with this, but bear with me for a moment. And in fact, I could actually tell you what it is right now as we study it together. The law of spiritual gravity simply means this, that everything that Satan has ever established or set up, himself included, because he set himself up, everything he's ever produced is falling, moves downward. Everything is in a continual falling motion and will never change. It's ultimately going to fall as low as it can go into total destruction. And you know, we live in a time where it doesn't appear to be that way, because you look around, seems like he's got quite a system set up. You know, the Bible tells us that he would do that. Of course, all of the people that are deceived with him, he's got this whole big governmental system, indoctrinational, I was going to say educational system, but it isn't anymore. Indoctrinational system, he's got an economic system he's bringing forth, and all of this to some people looks like progress. When in reality, if you take it in its entirety, the whole contraption, everything he's put together, is in a constant state of falling. Falling, falling, falling. There's a law of spiritual gravity here. Now, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 tells us about the 70 disciples that Jesus had sent forth, and they returned. He had sent them forth to cast out devils, heal the sick, do all these wondrous miracles that he empowered them to do. And now they've returned. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Isn't that exciting? There's the power of the name of Jesus. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They're subject to the name of Jesus, and when that name belongs to you, and you by faith use his name, not in vain, but in faith, then even the evil spirits are subject to that name as you use that name. That's why you pray in the name of Jesus. That's why you baptize in the name of Jesus. That's why whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God the Father for him. Now, it tells us in verse 18, and he said unto them, notice they came back so impressed. This really works. Devils are cast out. People are converted. Miracles take place. Wow! With a capital W. It works. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Satan fell from heaven. You know, there's something about that word fall. It indicates a loss of control, doesn't it? You're in a free fall. You're falling, falling, falling. I see Savio out here. He's an airline pilot. You know, I was on an American flight one time. He doesn't work for American, but I was on an American flight one time coming back from Boston, and it was rough. It was just one of those days where you're bouncing all over the place, and my knuckles were white. I had my arms wrapped around the seat in front of me. The plane was about half full. It was a small jet, and I was just wrapped around there, and because we were falling, anyway, I don't know what we were going through, but at one point I could feel us just falling. And I counted to 7. 1, 2, 3. That's a long time. And all of a sudden, boom! I thought, Lord, if you ever get me off of here, I'll never get on a plane again. It's just get me off of this thing. I don't want to be on this. It was rough. And you know, and the children sitting, there were several young children sitting around, and they were just laughing. This is fun. We're at the circus, you know, or whatever. And you know, and we're there just hanging on for our lives, you know. And the flight attendant, you know, she was hanging on too, because, you know, the flight attendant told me at one point, one time they had one where there was such a bump there that she said she had to fall to her knees and her head still hit the top of the, I mean, that's, you know, that's quite a jolt. But anyway, gravity had a little bit to do with that. But there's something about that word falling. It's loss of control. You down you go. And Jesus said this about Satan. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. When he was falling from heaven, he had no control. No control over anything. But when he got to earth, he began to manipulate people. He began to use people. All of his demon spirits began to work with people, inhabit people, possess people. He began to set up kingdoms and so forth. And it looked like progress, perhaps, for a while. But everything he ever set up fell. He set up an empire in Egypt, and the Egyptian empire fell. He set one up in Assyria, and that fell. He set one up in Babylon, and that fell. In Medo-Persia, and that fell. He set one up in Greece, and that fell. And he set one up in Rome, and that fell. He's setting one up again, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to fall. There is a destruction built into it because everything in the realm of Satan, himself included, goes downhill. Look what he's done to this world. Look at the United States. Is it falling? Babylon the Great is fallen. Oh, it's falling, all right. Everything's drying up and blowing away and everything's falling apart. This past weekend, they closed another, I think it was 7 banks. They're shutting them down right and left, and now the government has plugged in. They said FDIC is going to be broke by the end of the year. They'll have nothing. Nobody will have any insurance on any of their funds. And so they just pumped another $500 billion into FDIC. See, they got to keep putting vitamins into the old cow to see what milk they can get out of it, you know? But anyway, that's what they do. And of course, that money that they pumped in there came from nowhere. They just issued it. Well, actually, what they do is they borrow it into existence from the Federal Reserve. Everything has to go through the Federal Reserve, which is not federal and it has no reserves. That's how the devil works, too. You see, he'll always give you a name that means nothing. But I'm glad we have the name of Jesus, which means everything. But every place that you look, things are crumbling and falling apart. I could talk to you about all the jobs being lost. I guess 30,000 people are losing their jobs today because Circuit City this is their last day. They're closed up. The whole chain nationwide. But that's only one of the many. It is really amazing what we see happening all around us. And everything is crumbling and falling and deteriorating because it is all the working of Satan. Anything that God is truly in will rise up in strength. Though it appear to be weak to the world, there is within it the strength of Jesus Christ himself. And you can pray and you can call upon the Lord and walk in the strength of heaven, or you can be absorbed in this world and get into that free fall toward everlasting destruction. You know, all these religions, too, when you think about them, these old pagan religions, they were all based on something falling, weren't they? If you look at Egypt, for an example, they believed that there was this big stairway up into heaven, to the sun god, not heaven, but their heaven, the sun god, which is actually a flaming furnace. But they said that Pharaoh was what happened is that the son of the sun god came down this golden stairway, passed through the golden arches, picked up his egg McMuffin on the way. Huh? You ever wonder about the golden arches? Everything that these big outfits do is occult. They have occult symbology in them because that pleases their master. It's not just McDonald's, it's Procter & Gamble, it's you name it, any of them. They're all the same. See, that's what I like about preaching the truth. Nobody can accuse me, like as far as they say, well, you know, They're going to come after you if you endorse any candidate. I don't endorse any candidate. They're all rotten. All of them. How could I endorse something that's rotten? That isn't my world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Why bring the world into it? Why bring an abomination that maketh desolate into the sanctuary of God, meaning where the people of God gather together? That would stand where it ought not. That's why we don't have any flags in here. Our banner is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. That's the only flag I know about. You know, the world has all these flags. Hitler had his Hakenkreuz, you know, his swastika, and the Russians had their hammer and sickle, and they might as well put that on ours now. The things that are happening. You know, I was talking to a dear friend of mine who works for a Veterans Administration, and he was telling me something that shocked me, actually. You know, you think you heard it all, but then you hear some more. And he told me that last October 31st, he was at work, works in maintenance there, and they had everybody was supposed to get flu shots, you know. And so they had a registered nurse, an RN, dressed like a witch, pointed hat, Halloween, you know, going around giving flu shots. Well, that fits, doesn't it? A witch giving the shot. You know, a witch with trying to make a human voodoo doll out of you. A dartboard, whatever. Coming along, giving shots. And he said, no, I don't take those. I don't take the flu shot. I don't take any shots. And she looked at him and she said, we got ways of dealing with people like you. And the next thing you know is this nurse turned him over to the CDC, Center for Disease Control. Notice, not disease prevention, disease control. You don't want to get rid of disease, you want to control the disease. Make sure just the right sector of the population gets it. You got to plant those seeds in there. People think I'm crazy sometimes, but I'm telling you, if you go back, look at the Chicago Sun-Times from back in the 1950s. They had an article in there which said that our U.S. military, the Department of the Army, was conducting an experiment where they sent people around with from their department with attaché cases filled with pathogenic bacteria in a spray unit, and they'd go to airports, and they would go to the train stations and the bus terminals and walk around and push the little aerosol thing and spray this pathogenic bacteria on people as an experiment to see how far the flu and sickness and so forth would spread. Now, that was declassified information because so much time had gone by. By the time they printed this article, so much time had... I think I read it in... It happened in the 50s, but I believe I read that in about 1985, some 86, something like that. It admitted it. You know? Now, have they turned over a new leaf? Have they suddenly become angelic? Or do they have the same modus operandi? Are they still planting diseases out there and see, well, take notes here, how many got it? Okay, tally marks, right? Except they do it with a computer. You might say, how could anybody, is it possible for anybody to be that evil? Yes. Yes. It is. And they are. Why? How do I know? They're a part of a fallen kingdom and a falling kingdom. It's in a continual free fall. And Satan knows that he had, you know, the Bible says Satan has come down upon you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. It's like if a guy jumped off the, let's say he jumped off the Empire State Building just to prove to his girlfriend that he had guts, okay? And he jumps off of this Empire State Building. He gets down near the bottom and he knows he has a short time, right? When things start getting bigger and bigger and bigger, when you're up on top there looking down, and you're so high up, you know, even your uncles look like ants. And down you come, and he gets down near the bottom, and he knows he's got a short time. See, Satan knows he has but a short time. Why? His kingdom is falling. Babylon is fallen. But anyway, this Amen-Ra, the sun god, you know, and this son of the sun god comes down, and he begins to build his Egyptian kingdom. How does he do it? Well, he finds himself an Egyptian woman, and then she, you know, this is all the legend that you find. You go back every one of these. I'll tell you about Babylon in a minute. And suddenly you have a Pharaoh that is born. And Pharaoh supposedly is the child of a woman who was impregnated by the rays of light from the sun. Now, I don't think it was the rays of light from the sun that did it. But anyway, suddenly you've got a Pharaoh. And they worshipped him because he was the son of the son of the sun god. Right? Now, go into Babylon. And you find the same thing. There's always something falling from somewhere. In Babylon, they say that a big egg fell down from the full moon and landed in the Euphrates River. This is the essence of their religion. Because they believe, okay, they knew a woman had a 28-day cycle, human female, 28-day cycle, right? And so the moon is a 28-day cycle as it goes through its various phases. So they calculated the moon must be female. Then if the moon is female, the sun must be male. And so they had a mother goddess. The Catholics still do. Hey, if they say that Mary is the mother of God, they've got a mother goddess. Well, anyway, as the legend goes, this big giant egg came down. Splash. In the river Euphrates, and out hatched Semiramis, the queen of heaven. She, in turn, married a man by the name of Nimrod. Nimrod was killed. And in fact, Nimrod, when he was killed, he was actually, and you can find this right in I've got a set of Masonic encyclopedias about that long somebody got for me. And they got the whole story of Nimrod in there. It isn't where I got this. I knew this before. But anyway, Nimrod, the Bible talks about Nimrod, supposedly married this queen of heaven, but he was killed and severed. Whoever killed him sectioned him off and sent parts of his body to all the region round about. And so the people tried to put him back together again. You know, like Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall, right? All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put him together again. They got him all put together. They found all the pieces. Why didn't they rot? Got all the pieces together except for the portion that reproduces. I won't be graphic here, but you understand what I'm saying. That is why in Washington, D.C., you've got that obelisk up there. In Central Park in New York, you've got that obelisk up there. That's the part that's missing from that divine Nimrod in their old religion. You understand? That's why you've got in front of the Vatican that big obelisk up there. It's sacred to them. That's why you get into Freemasonry and what do you have? There's always something secret that's missing that you're reaching for. There's some secret this and secret that, and you don't know what's above you. You got to wait until you get there and find out. There's always something more, something more, something more. Get up to 32nd degree, there's something more. 33rd degree, there's something more. Although they tell you that's all there isn't. There's more. All you have to do is pay the money and memorize a little and work your way into it and see what's next. But the whole point is there's always secrecy involved here. There's always something weird going on. Now, with this Babylonian religion, you've got this offspring that comes forth. Because what happened is Nimrod was dead. Semiramis then became pregnant, like she said, from the rays of the sun god, because Nimrod was now up there. Okay? And so therefore, he worked a miracle, some kind of immaculate conception sort of a thing. Well, anyway, all of a sudden you've got Tammuz, the son of the sun god. And then she marries her own son. You know, if you went to Egypt, see, this whole thing is mama gods, daddy gods, having baby gods, all this kind of stuff. If you go to Egypt, to Cairo, you could stay at the Semiramis Hotel. They got a Semiramis Hotel. I wouldn't want to stay there. You imagine going there and staying in room 13? Huh? But anyway, they got this whole big thing built up as a religion, a mystery religion. But what's it all based on? And you could carry this on and on. The festival of Easter is taken from the word Easter, spelled I-S-H-T-A-R, Ishtar, which is another name for Semiramis. Does anybody in their right mind celebrate Easter? Certainly, yeah, certainly wouldn't be Christian, would they? Easter's egg, right? Hatched out of the egg? And the bunny rabbit was the pet rabbit or hare that, I could say something there, one of these hair-raising stories. But anyway, the hare was the pet, personal pet of Tammuz. Remember how God rebuked Israel because the women were weeping for Tammuz? And the way they did it is they had a set of beads with a little cross at the bottom. It wasn't really a cross, it was a towel. In other words, like a capital T. And they would hold those beads and they would weep in front of the statue, the idol of Tammuz. Do you ever see women holding a set of beads weeping in front of an idol? Where did that come from? But you could go on and on with the winter season. You know, the birthday of the sun god in December on the 25th, he rises back up again. Nobody would celebrate that, would they? And call themselves Christian? You know, and I preached this for years and years, and I know a lot of people who still do all that stuff. It just, for some mental reason, I think it's spiritual, doesn't soak in. But all of this, the reason I brought all this up is because it's based on something falling. Big egg falls down, whew, into the river Euphrates. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, is what Jesus said. And of course, then he went on and he explained to them that in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Can we take that seriously? We better. Jesus said it. You see, sometimes the reason things just feel out of control is because we still live in this world, and this world is falling. Falling, falling, falling. But we're also in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And when he said it that way, that means forever. That's the way it is. This world is, you know, his kingdom is not of this world. This world is of something else. Jesus looked at some people one time, very religious people, religious leaders, and said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. I was talking to an apostate minister one time. He was one of these guys that it was 99% error and once in a while sideswiped the truth, but not very often. He was really giving me a lot of grief, and I said, let me just do it this way. Let me tell you something that my father said to your father a long time ago. Get thee behind me, Satan. That takes care of it. We are in a situation where everything that you can reference as far as a human being is in a condition of falling because of spiritual gravity. Satan, when he was cast out of heaven, never stopped falling in a spiritual sense. And you see people who are following him, and what happens to them? Do you see their lives deteriorate? Do you see them falling? Now they're commenting that Obama's hair is getting gray. And he said that comes with the territory and being president. You become president, your hair becomes gray. You know, when people go into witchcraft, even young people, their hair starts to turn white, sometimes overnight, because of these evil spirits and all the fear that is generated. The occult realm operates on fear, on intimidation. You're always in that. That's because you're in a condition of falling. I was falling. You were falling. And the Lord picked us up. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He turned us all around. Now we're lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our reference point is our names written in the book of life, which is where? Above. We're not falling, we're rising toward that grand and glorious day. But everything in Satan's realm falls. So much could be said. You know, well, let's do this. Let's go back for just a moment to Isaiah 14. In Isaiah 14, in verse 12, it tells us, how art thou fallen? How art thou what? Fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer, of course, is a name that means holder of the light, or the bringer of light, Lucifer. And Lucifer, obviously, was a high archangel. Why? Because you read in Ezekiel chapter 28, and it calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the very guardian of the throne of God. But he was lifted up with pride and said, I will be like the Most High, as it'll tell us right here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now, notice that. He's falling, and as he interacts with the nations of people, what happens to them? They become weak, and they're falling. When you were following the devil before the Lord pulled you out, you were getting weaker and weaker, were you not? Falling, becoming weaker, your life was deteriorating rapidly. And that holds true of nations. Oh, they might form united nations, they might form a European Union. They might tie their economies together with NAFTA and CAFTA, which only gives you the SHAFTA, and GATT and all these other things. Hey, watch out when they stick a GATT in your ribs. Huh? General Agreement on Treaties and Tariffs, right? Of course, when I used to hear the word GATT, I thought of one of those handguns, right? GATT. It just sounds like something that would be part of their vernacular, doesn't it? We got something wonderful called GATT. We'll shove it in your ribs. Huh? That's what they've done. Which didst weaken the nations. You know, we talked about this. You look at all these types of Antichrist back there. Nimrod and so forth. So it was supposed to be a divine being, right? And the Egyptian son of the sun god, a divine being. This is all the work of Satan. Now, we have a president who, when he was running, said that as you elect him, you will experience an epiphany. I heard him say it. Those are his own words. The evidence is there. Why can't people think? Do they know what epiphany means? Some say, well, it's part of the Lutheran calendar or the Catholic calendar. Epiphany means the revelation of a manifestation of a divine being. A divine being. Barack Obama is a divine being? He's no more divine than my vacuum cleaner. Come on. But, you know, he's certainly proving himself to not be doing a very good job. But they put him in there because he's blackmailable. They put him in there because they can control him. Yeah, oh, no pun intended there, by the way, blackmailable. I know somebody come along, oh, you racist. I wasn't even thinking of that when I said it. Now, that should be obvious. But if the shoe fits, wear it. No, they've done this on purpose. And they're controlling the situation. We are in a condition of, see, they think they're sabotaging the whole economic system. They'll bring forth a new one. I don't care what they do, what they bring forth, it'll never last. The Bible tells us that. The whole thing is falling. There is a spiritual law here, a law of gravity, where everything Satan touches, builds, everything that he is, it all is constantly going down, 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 eventually to hell, which is called a pit. People are so indoctrinated. You know, you go to the universities. I used to work at one. You go to these universities, and you go and listen to a professor talk, you know, and one of these guys, and where do they take you? To the lecture pit. Everybody get your notebooks. We're going to the pit. Right? Where this little god with his square hat is going to tell us how things work and what's right and what's wrong and that there's no God and that the world is billions and billions. Remember Carl Sagan? Billions and billions and billions of years old. By whose measurement? All conjecture, isn't it? See, Satan is building up this whole big thing as some great thing, and it's falling, falling, falling. Reminds me of that witch on Wizard of Oz. I'm melting, I'm melting, I'm melting. Hillary's sister. Anyway. And she was over in China recently saying, we will rise together or we will fall together. And she told the Chinese government, continue to buy, she ordered them, continue to buy our debt. Have you listened to what they're saying? Buy debt? I don't want to buy any debt. What's debt? It's a problem. When you live in an economy where debt is bought and sold as a commodity, it shows you that it's a bankrupt society. It is a bankrupt system. Buying and selling and trading debt, 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 debt. There's no value in debt. It's a fictitious value. They say, oh yes, but this is a collectible debt. What happens when the debt isn't collectible anymore? Then it's a liability. Then you have the falling effect, don't you? When they start throwing trillions of dollars around, there is a falling effect. When you start to realize how much a trillion is, and they're starting to hand it out like pocket change, there's a problem here. Satan knows he has but a short time. And all over the world it's happening. And now they're having a big meeting in England. All the leaders of the world are gathering together to discuss a new economic system that will save the world. And of course, they have been told, and they've said it time and again, I've read it in numerous places, Obama will save the earth. He will save the world. How? He's falling, and so is the world falling. They're all falling together. And so in Isaiah 14, when the question is asked in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Everything he comes into becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. That's like Goliath. Remember David out there with Goliath? Goliath stood there and he was telling him what he was going to do. I am going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to do this. I. Where did he hit him? Right between the eyes. Down he came. Well, here you've got Lucifer saying, I will do this, I will do that. You know, that's why the Lord doesn't even allow us to use words like that. We're not supposed to anyway. We're supposed to not say, I will do this tomorrow, I will do that tomorrow. You say, if the Lord will, then I will go here or go there or do this or do that. Isn't that right? Didn't he say it? You know, we really need to adjust our thinking to the will of the Holy Ghost. And those things that are written in the Scripture like that are there for a very important reason. But here you've got Lucifer, who becomes Satan. Satan is taken from the Hebrew satan, which means adversary. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. By the way, that is absolutely impossible. There is none like unto God. Not even Barack Obama. Well, he said, you're going to have an epiphany, divine being. How can anybody talk like that? You know, I'd be concerned about lightning coming down and zapping him. I suppose that could happen yet, but this is, you know, praise the Lord, yes. You know, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. That was the greatest cartoon of all time that I've ever seen printed anywhere. They had Dr. Schuller in his Crystal Cathedral on California. Big picture of this big Crystal Cathedral. You know, he started that thing out as a drive-in church. He was the first one to ever use MasterCard and Visa for offerings. And they would go around and they had that little thing. In those days, they had that little thing they'd run through, you know, and people walk from car to car. You'd drive-in church. Didn't have to get out of your car. And listen to Doc tell you about his auras and his all these things, the metaphysical stuff, right? But here was this big crystal cathedral in this cartoon, and a big meteor was coming down out of heaven, right headed right for it. And the caption underneath was, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. The one good thing about the Crystal Cathedral is it is built right on the San Andreas fault line. So when that thing goes, the Crystal Cathedral is going to go. Who needs it? It's going to fall. Falling cathedrals. Praise the Lord. You know, you might think I'm a little bit coarse in the way I preach. I'm a little bit rough. I've had it. You know, I don't care anymore. I am sick of the way this world operates. I don't know what to say. I'm at the point where, Lord, any minute, just let it happen. Even these corporations can't take it anymore. They say that FedEx and UPS are going to join together and they're going to call it Fed Up. But anyway, in addition to that, so we look at this, the scripture here, and it says, after all this declaration of what he's going to do, it is pronounced upon Lucifer, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Brought down to hell. To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Notice, Satan, Lucifer becomes Satan. Satan inhabits a man called the Antichrist. And at the very end of the world, what happens? People say, is this the man? Yeah. Did Satan enter into Judas Iscariot when he received the sop? Yes. Could Satan enter into a man to try to run this latter-day world? Yep. Where are all of these demons we read about in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? Where are they now in the year 2009? Did they all go into retirement? They're still out there. The demons that were in the Pharisees are in the ministers. They're in some of these characters. Benny Hinn comes to mind. Kenneth Copeland comes to mind. Rodney Howard Brown comes to mind. Robert Tilton, if he's still tilting. I remember him, you know, and Remember Reverend Ike? He was the only one who ever really laid it in the line, though. He always said, I want your money. That woman came up one time and said, she said, oh, I got a testimony. You know, that phony stuff makes you just want to regurgitate, doesn't it? She said, since I've been following Reverend Ike, the Lord gave me a brand new car. And this Reverend Ike said, what kind of car did he give you, sister? She said, a Lincoln Continental. He said, oh, a Lincoln Continental, a coming for to carry me home. That's church. I don't want to hear about automotive things. You know, come on. But anyway, that's the world. Some of you don't remember, you wouldn't remember Father Divine, they called him. Remember Father Divine out east there? There are a couple ministers in one of his meetings one time. Can you imagine the audacity? Call no man your father upon the earth and then divine with it? And there were a couple of ministers out there that really were true Christians, and they thought they'd just sit in one of his meetings one time. And one of them spoke up and said, I'm sure glad God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And this old Father Divine said, yes, I know you're glad, son. I ought to know I gave it to you. How, you know, something like that would scare me half to death. But that's what's going on out there. It's all a part of Satan. You see the pride in that? Satan enters into people, and I'll tell you what, he's entered into somebody. He's in somebody right now. He's at work. His whole hierarchy is at work. It's called the U.S. Congress. And the House of Commons and the House of Lords and all the other parliaments, hey, they're busy. They're trying to put a world together, one where Satan is God. But you know what? It is falling, 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 falling. The law of spiritual gravity, everything Satan touches, everything he builds, falls. He fell from heaven himself. But notice the wording here where they said, where it tells us, we're still in Isaiah chapter 14, where he's brought down to the sides of the pit, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. It means they'll gaze upon him. And consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Has Satan destroyed cities? Is he turning the world into a wilderness? But he's made one big fundamental mistake. The mistake that he's making, remember, he enters into a man, doesn't he? Son of perdition, right? Antichrist. And when the Lord stops time, he says, time shall be no longer. When that happens, it tells us in the book of Revelation, let everything that is righteous be righteous still. Let everything that is filthy be filthy still. Everything must remain as it is. Satan is confined to that man and is cast into hell as a man with all the others that he deceived. There is no going back. There's no changing. He falls to the lowest estate. He finally inhabits a man and he's stuck. All right? That's why the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. The dragon, oh, I know the spirit of Satan is great and big and all this stuff, but he's not omnipresent. So when you think about it, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Yeah, he took the form of a man. He's doing it right now. You can go from one to another right now, but when time stops, he is stuck like everything else is stuck. And if you're righteous, you will be righteous forever. If you are filthy, you'll be filthy forever. That's what it says. that made the world as a wilderness that and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. He takes people captive, does he not? Only the Lord can set you free. Amazing, isn't it? You know, as I said, everything about him falls and fails and crumbles. And I know that the kingdom of darkness doesn't appreciate this message this morning because it pronounces their doom, but the Bible's already done it. We might as well line up with it and think that way. Because we have received a kingdom that can never be moved. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You read that in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, don't you? But we have received a kingdom. We didn't build it. We didn't plan it. But we've received it because he gave it to us. Fear not, my little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. One that will never fall. You know, as a matter of fact, it talks about the fall of Babylon many places in the Bible. But earlier in chapter 14, it talks about it, where it says in verse 4, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. The rulers, plural. All right? He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. Notice how he ruled. He smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. That's Satan's governance in this world right now. People are continually being stricken. Stricken with diseases, stricken with pestilence, stricken with this and that and everything else. Stricken with Satan's economy. A continual stroke. He ruled the nations in anger. That's why you have so many wars and rumors of wars, right? The whole earth, what happens when Jesus comes? The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Did you ever do that? Did the Lord give you rest? Have you ever broken forth into singing? Do you ever really get with it singing? Yea, the fir trees rejoice in thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Since Jesus was nailed to a cross, no one was to ever cut a tree down as a religious symbol ever again. People wouldn't do that, would they? Not even in December, would they? Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Notice the downward motion to hell. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Notice, Satan becomes weak like unto them. First he weakens humanity and weakens humanity, weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, till there's nothing good left in it. And then he is made weak like unto them. Notice, they're not saying we've become as strong as thee. Thou hast become as weak as us. Do you see the downward spiral, the downward trend? Now, boy, where does the time go? I lost an hour last night. I feel robbed. You know, I was going to tell you about that. I will briefly here. Oh, I've got some time left here. We got a little bit. You know, daylight savings time, I'll come right, I'm still in my thought because that's all figures in. Daylight savings time, they say, was started by Benjamin Franklin, who woke up one day with an idea. He said, you know, we could use more light at night, so why don't we just move the clocks ahead? And then what we're going to do, though, is now this is the original way it was done. We'll move the clocks ahead on May 1st. Now, they've changed it since then. But originally, daylight savings time started actually April 31st. I remember when I was a child, it was April 31st. We'll set the clocks ahead on the eve of Beltane, right? And then we'll move them back again on October 31st, Halloween. Beltane celebrates and honors the rising of the sun god on May 1st to prominence. And Halloween represents the rising of the moon goddess, where darkness becomes the prominent factor. In other words, the darkness increases, the light wanes, right? And on May 1st, the reverse is true, although it happens before then, really on the equinox. From then on it starts, but they marked it on that day because that goes back to paganism. That is pure witchcraft. Of course, Benjamin Franklin was a member of the Hellfire Society in Boston, also had the big headquarters was in London. Actually, the old city of London's the headquarters for everything rotten, including all of the British crown and realm of Freemasonry. Of course, they were always vying for power with the Freimaurer and the Jacobeans and so forth. But England was that old city of London. It's a very small area, but that is the very seat of the beast itself as far as secret societies go. And of course, we have in our country, we have, to mark our economy, we have the dollar sign, which is an S with two bars through it, which means under the bondage, actually double bondage, of Satan. It goes back to the Middle Ages. It always meant that. Witches knew that. Occultists all knew that. And in England, they use Lucifer. They use the L with the bar through it, under the scourge or under the bondage of Lucifer. Then they get you to go down to the bank and you sign a mortgage, death contract, mortuary, mortician, mortgage. And you sign a mortgage, a death contract, next to the dollar sign. You put your name, I am now under the bondage of Satan, in a death contract, so I can have the favor of whatever they're going to give me. How do you like them apples? Then they get you in this economy to the point where both parents have to work. Now you give your children over to the daycare centers of necessity. They teach them all about Satan's agenda. You are working so hard because if you don't, you're going to be splitting a bean six ways for supper. They planned all this out, and then you immunize people. You disable them. You pump diseases into them using syringes. You see, back in the old witchcraft religion, they had a certain deity that they called Pan, from which you get the word panic, pandemonium, Peter Pan. Pan. Pan was a half-goat, half-man deity that would, as he called himself, that would play the panpipes, called the syrinx. Remember? Blow into it. That's kind of a hollow sound as you blow into these pipes. Do you realize that the original plural for syringe is not syringes? If you look in the Oxford Dictionary, it's syrinx. A tubular device, except they're not blowing air into it, they're putting mercury into it. They're putting monkey kidneys into it. They're putting pus from cows into it. All this stuff, and that's going to inoculate you. And many, many other things. They say, how can they do this? Nobody's that bad. Yes, they are. Take the rose-colored glasses off and wake up, because Satan has come in like a flood. And your only hope is Jesus Christ. There is no other way at all. And in him there is surety. In him there is truth. In him there is light. Everything else is in a constant state of deterioration, decay, and it is falling toward hell. The United States is falling toward hell. Britain is falling toward hell. All of it! That's why when the Lord comes back, the Apostle Peter made it exceedingly clear, the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. But he said, nevertheless, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This old one is going to melt and burn and be destroyed. With all the cities and all that man has built, it's all going down. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, one verse here. Matthew 11:23, he said, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Jesus was in Capernaum. They rejected him. Jesus is here with us now. And you know, a person would have to be a fool to reject him. Wouldn't you say? But any city, any nation that rejects the Lord is in that falling, deteriorating realm. In the few minutes I have left, turn with me for just a moment to Acts chapter 19. I'd like to have had time to do the whole chapter, but we're just going to look at a couple of verses here. The Apostle Paul has gotten himself into some hot water. Now, he had done that many times. Of course, hot water, what I mean by that is trouble. He was outspoken. He was debating, disputing in the school of one Tyrannus, from which you get the word tyrant, Tyre, so forth. But he was there, and you know, some of these educators are tyrants, aren't they? If you don't believe it my way, then you're going to get an F. I've talked to people who have gone to seminaries, and they said, well, I had to, you know, I said, don't you realize the thesis that you wrote is all false? Yeah, but I had to do it to get a passing grade. For what? So I could get a church. To do what? To continue on? You're going to start out on a false foundation? You're going to start out on a foundation of error and make something out of it? They crank these ministers out like they come off an assembly line, collect them in baskets and distribute them around. It's amazing. But in Acts 19, Paul had been preaching. He had a lot of people upset. They looked at him as a great danger. The silversmiths were busy making idols, statues of Diana, in the city of Ephesus. And Diana was quite a statue. It was made of silver. And by the way, if you want to see what one looks like, just go on the internet and look up Rome, and there is a walkway between the Vatican and the Circus Maximus, and all along the walkway there are little statues of Diana. With 100 breasts exposed in the front and a Tower of Babel on her head. You cannot serve God and mammon, right? But there it is at the Vatican. Boy, they have got, you know, everything that's rotten, they've got it. That doctor that I talked to, Dr. Militello, has a good Irish name, huh? No, he's a Italian. But he went to Italy, he went to Rome. He said that's where his relatives were, and they all had a family reunion over there. And he was treating me at the time with my foot, and I was telling him about the Lord. And when he got back, I had an appointment with him, and he looked at me. I said, how was your trip to Rome? He said, you know what surprised me, Pastor? He said, at how pagan everything is at the Vatican. All the idols and everything. He said he couldn't figure that out. I said, well, that should tell you something. You know, he had his eyes opened. You know, it's like people don't see it and don't see it, and you tell them something, all of a sudden, oh boy, I don't know if I want to see it. It's they start to see a little of it, and it's too much. It's going to shake my whole world. I'm going to have to think differently. It's called conversion. It's called repentance. It's called being called out of that falling kingdom into the rising one. For the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And with Satan, it falls to nothing. All of his realm. But watch what happens. Here is Paul, and the silversmiths are mad because he said, these are no gods that are made with hands. If some man made it, how can it be a god? Is anybody in the god-making business? You make a god after your own image, the way you think it ought to be? Isn't that silly? Like my parrot professor says, you're silly. You're silly. And that is silly. You know, here he was. He's going to go out and speak to all the people, and they wouldn't let him. Paul was so void of fear, he could have gotten himself killed. But there was a big uproar. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 30, and when Paul would have entered in unto the people, this is Acts 19:30, the disciples suffered him not. They wouldn't allow it. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some, therefore, cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused. Do you think the population of our country is currently confused? And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They didn't even know why they had gathered. Again, the very condition of our land. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, this is unison now, one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They had their own little princess Diana, didn't they? Of course, they made a goddess out of her, too. Can you imagine anybody using vain repetition for that length of time? 2 hours. Can you think of anybody in our day that uses vain repetition? Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. 2 hours of that. 15 minutes of Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace. 15 minutes of that is enough to drive you up a wall. I was listening to the radio one time, and that came on, and I was almost pulled over and got out of the car. 2 hours. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Hey, they defended their goddess, didn't they? Talk about mind control. It was going on for a long time. Satan is a master at mind control. He shows people how to do it. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and the image which fell down from Jupiter? Their religion was based on a statue, an idol that supposedly fell down out of the sky from Jupiter. I'm telling you that there's nothing that fell out of the sky. That was a hoax. That was a scam. Do we have any scams in our land? What do they call our government? Uncle Scam, right? Constantly pulling the wool, hoodwinking people, pulling the wool over their eyes. But here, the image that fell down, oh, they believed it. Oh, I believe that, they said. I believe that. An image fell. Hey, it's a fallen image representing a fallen religion. Spiritual gravity. Right? Why didn't it flatten out on impact? Well, they had their own little legends, didn't they? Then he says, seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against. He's saying nobody would listen to anything contrary. Have you noticed how hard it is to get through to people and getting harder? Have you noticed? These things cannot, error cannot be spoken against. You cannot speak against error. Some people, they throw you in jail for it. They expel you from school. The man I talked to where they turned him over to the Center for Disease Control, the CDC contacted him and worked him over real good. Called him personally because he refused to take an immunization at work. The CDC, don't they have anything better to do? Don't they have any germs to count? They make them. They manufacture them. They want to make sure you get them. All laid out according to their plan. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. Then he goes on to explain, for ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. No, they didn't blaspheme Diana. They just said, this is nothing. This is nothing at all. It's a piece of metal. That's all. You know, I look at the big structure built up. You go to Madison, you go to Washington. I've been both places various times. Build up these big buildings, these big marble structures. And that's supposed to, they're so big because they make you feel this big. How could I fight that? How could I possibly rise up against that? How could I oppose that? I better fall into line. They got a big marble building. Marble floors. Marble, marble, marble. They lost their marbles, right? They're everywhere. And so it makes this design to make you feel that big where you're helpless and you're hopeless and you have to do everything they say. And then you've got these ministers on the FEMA payroll who are saying Romans 13 means you never question government. You do everything they tell you. Everything. And my Bible tells me, let every soul, your soul, be subject unto the higher power. Who's the higher power? God. And any government that doesn't line up with God is not under that structure of the higher power. They could shoot me for that, but it's the truth. They don't like that because that stands against everything they're trying to build up while it's falling down. And we know it's falling down. It's like the little dog that pulled the curtain back in The Wizard of Oz, right? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. You're not supposed to see him, right? There's always somebody who's going to holler out, the emperor has no clothes! Hey, these little stories mean something, don't they? Remember that story? Somebody's going to be able to see. Somebody's going to understand. When God opens your eyes, you get a picture of the whole thing. This is all going down. And God is the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who rescues us and holds us in His hand so that we don't fall with it. He said, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Nobody. And so there we are, safe in His hands. I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy great salvation. And we thank Thee for rescuing us from all this fallen world because of this law of spiritual gravity that Satan and his realm are all falling continually. But Lord, we thank Thee for Thy great salvation. Oh, how we treasure it. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful unto Thee at all times and not to be deceived by anything, but let O Lord, Thy great light from heaven shine upon us that we might walk in the light. For Thou hast brought us into a place where we can reach out always and touch Thy throne through faith. Bless Thy people, O God. Watch over us always. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst guide and direct us at all times. And I also pray for all that are here as they go home, as they travel. I pray especially for Robert and for Savio, that Thou wouldst bring them safely to their destinations, O Lord. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst help all of us to walk in thy ways and to learn of thee, and to rejoice because of thy great and wondrous salvation. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst keep us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.